Welcome to the Executive Function Podcast, where we make the invisible keys to success easy for you to teach your child. We'll go beyond theory to proven action, helping you create peace and independence at home and at school with your host, educational author, award-winning teacher, and celebrated learning coach, Sarah Kesty.
Hey team, today on the show, we have Zach, who is one of my favorite humans and is soon going to be one of yours as well. He is a college student who recently found out he has ADHD. So he is learning all about his brain as he also learns college studenting. And he's a PR journalism major and going into his junior year. Thank you, Zach, so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all.
So tell us a little bit about your school experience so far.
It's gone relatively well. I'd say sort of went through the normal ups and downs of, like, I guess most college students, like freshman year, really not good grades because you're trying to figure it out. And then sophomore and junior year definitely was helped by your coaching, definitely.
Nice. Yeah. Well, and you know, we always talk, you and I, about how it's in you. I'm just kind of asking the right questions to unlock it. So I'm going to throw that credit back to you.
Well, thank you.
But we do have a fun partnership. I agree. It's fun kind of digging around your brain for all the gems and diamonds and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that completely.
Nice. Okay. So, and you recently had kind of a bump in the road with your English class that was like a huge success by the end. Do you want to tell the listeners about that? Because, not to throw shade on your experience, but because a lot of people have that parallel experience and, you know, failing a couple classes can really be disheartening or empowering depending on your perspective. So where are you with all of that?
So I guess for a little bit of background, I failed this English class about three times. Well, no, it was two. And then the third one I passed, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yep. You got an A.
For some reason, my brain's sort of like, I can't remember all that well. But yeah, essentially how I sort of did that was as like, myself, I would say that my best subject is in English. So I was really confused, really worried about it. And was like, I guess I'm not as good at English as I thought. But once, you know, I passed it, I realized it was mostly more of a scheduling thing. So yeah, definitely when it comes to these experiences, make sure you're not getting down on yourself.
Yeah. And I'm hearing you really say that you teased out the difference that, like, your brain was capable, you're smart, you can do the content, but the studenting part was so tricky, like managing your time and dealing with deadlines and keeping all these like floating components grounded enough to be able to manipulate them. Like, that was the tricky part.
Oh yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. Just because you're inexperienced in something doesn't mean that you're stupid about it.
Holy smoke. So you're saying new is different than dumb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, gave me chills. That's such a good, clear thing to kind of give yourself a framework for self-talk, right? Like, oh, I'm feeling at this because I'm new. Or maybe not even failing. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm struggling, or this is a challenge for me personally because I haven't had to do this before.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for appreciating that quote. I did not come up with it on my own. That's for sure.
Oh, like, man. Most things, right? It's like a collection from life.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll go with it. I like it. It's a Zach 2.0. A quote again, which reminds me. So you and I jokingly call you Zach 2.0 because it's kind of like you've like updated your strategy software to work with your brain system and to work within like the ADHD strengths and challenges. What are your best strategies that you're using right now?
I feel like the best strategies really is just sort of keeping a week-to-week schedule, the shortcomings I was talking about was literally just forgetting a few assignments or not having enough motivation to sort of do it. And somehow, honestly, I'm not even sure myself how, but I guess like the scheduling sort of keeps me on track. And it's sort of now this thing where it's like, well, I mean, I put on a schedule. So I feel like it's staring at me in the face. I gotta do it now.
Right. Yeah. That's such a good point. You know, it kind of, it acts as a clarity piece and an organization piece, but also like a little bit of accountability because you promised your future self you would do this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And also just to sort of, I guess, throw a little bit of Sarahism back at you. If I remember correctly, it's sort of an estimate of your week by week basis. And that definitely helps me a lot. That's for sure.
I think what you're getting at is some people really feel intimidated by schedules because it's so rigid. But what I'm hearing you say is two things. Like it can change as your needs change through the week. And it's not something to beat yourself up about because it's your best guess. Exactly. And probably things might get wonky at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I think a couple times when we first started working together, you would come to me and say, like, almost apologize. Or I think you emailed a couple times, like, I didn't do this at the exact time. And you were worried about that, you know? And then it was this liberation I heard you reflect of like, oh, I'm the boss of this. Like, Sarah helps me sort it out, but you really started taking the lead after a few weeks and you'd be like, hey, check this out. Can you look at what I did? I'm making my schedule, which was so, so huge.
The change in thinking for me of thinking of schedules as a rigid, like you can't change it afterwards compared to the more fluid, you don't have to follow it, but it is definitely an estimate and a good way of like keeping your brain on track. And that definitely helped out.
Good. Yeah. And it's that paradox, right? It's just structure enough, but not rigid where you feel claustrophobic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. It's really interesting, huh? So, you know, I invited you on the show, obviously, because you're one of my favorite humans, but also because you've got some really good insight and you're like in it. You are nearly halfway through college. You're in a summer school class right now. You're doing it. When you look back in that summer before high school and college, since it wasn't too long ago for you, like, what do you remember doing or what do you wish you did to get ready?
Oh, man. Okay. So I guess looking back at like high school and the first year of college, one of the main things was sort of building those sort of soft skills and stuff like that of like, oh, make sure that you know how to schedule so, you know, you don't get screwed over in the first year of college, which that did happen. But I'm very happy that I am finally building them back up. That would definitely be something that if I were to redo it, honestly, I'm not sure if I would do it still, but I definitely would be wanting myself to do it more.
I gotcha. Okay. So you're kind of describing what parents have told me too. Like my kid wants a break. How do I get them to get buy-in to work on this stuff that's kind of naturally hard for them?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll add to it, and it's kind of parallel to what we're doing too, is you don't have to practice those soft skills only in the school's context, right? Like you've been planning fun in your schedule and you've been planning these budget goals so that you can buy things that you really want. So it's not that the skills need to be only tied to boring student school stuff. It can be any life goal that you have that's just like related to future you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and you're like, what, two paychecks away from your gaming computer. There we go.
Yeah. Gaming laptop. I'm very excited for it.
Right. And we were even just today budgeting like some extra fun money for games. So kind of fun to work on our brains. It doesn't only have to be school.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay. So you wished you had worked on some of those soft skills. Do you remember what surprised you when you went to college?
I guess it's mostly the ease that I sort of happened to stumble upon my friend group. We went through a lot of coincidences to get there. So definitely nobody should feel bad for not finding their core friend group in the beginning. But, you know, I guess just know that if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, don't worry about it.
Okay. Thanks. So that really is true. Like, you've got a great roommate. You've got a good set of friends that are supportive of you and just kind of envelop you when you're ready, and almost to the point where we've had to make strategies to not socialize as much, you know, which is a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do recommend that if you do find that friend group, make sure to find a quiet place. That's definitely something that was an issue in the first year and technically is still an issue, but I found a library nearby, so we're all good.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's one of the really good tips that I hear from a lot of the college students I work with, is that just space makes much more of a difference than you think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that library setting can give you that body double experience where someone's working next to you. So you feel your brain picks up on the social cues and you feel pressure to be serious, which somehow tricks your brain into giving you more focus juice and just like being parallel to someone focused.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like humans are just sort of pack animals in general. So like, that might be the reason, but I'm not a scientist, so please don't take my word for it.
Well, I'm not either, but I can tell you that, you know, there's lots of theory around like how humans evolved because you had to be social to survive. And so we do still cue into other people's social indicators as kind of a biological thing in our brain. So it would make sense that we'd be influenced by others' behavior around us.
Yeah, that's fair. That is a good way of thinking of it.
Right? Like if you got ousted by the tribe, you wouldn't survive on your own. So the genes that help you kind of be a connector and a social person got passed on because those were the people who survived.
Yeah, that is fair.
If there are high school juniors and seniors, or even people who maybe did a very clunky first year of college and they're listening right now, what do you want to tell them?
Always be looking to improve yourself, unless it's getting in the way of you improving yourself, if that makes sense.
Tell me more about that.
I guess like, if you're worrying about, oh, I have to fix this about myself, I have to fix this, you know, I don't think you're looking at it in a healthy way, you know. You need to sort of more be like, you know, I want to improve this of my life, and so I will sort of, I guess, look into it. You know, just never get down on yourself about trying to fix things, because that's going to be unproductive realistically. And maybe it's just because I'm more of like the kind of person that is sort of like that, oh, I need to fix this problem. I'm very much, if there's a problem, I really want to fix it. So maybe it's easier for me in general, just because that's how my brain works. But just always be looking to know yourself, know your brain, and understand how you can improve yourself by working with yourself, I guess.
Oh, huge. Yes. I'm hearing you describe kind of the place that you've come to. Like Zach 1.0 was very frustrated with himself and feeling stupid, and like the fail really was on your mind for a while. Mm-hmm. And then you came to see like, oh, the more I understand my brain, the more I can pull apart that I'm not choosing this, this isn't a character flaw. And now, oh my gosh, now that I'm out of my own way, I have access to all these strategies. And now what I see from Zach 2.0 is like this playfulness, like, let's give it a try. And if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. You know, very open to like, every human's going to have something to work on every single day. We're all works in progress. And that's a huge shift that I've felt and kind of heard in the way you're describing yourself.
I have sort of this little piece of calligraphy that I've done. I'm notoriously bad at handwriting. So this is like probably a work of art compared to most of what I've done. But I think it says, if you aren't perfect, you are perfectly inhuman. And it's just more of like a reminder that, you know, if you were perfect, you'd feel less human in a weird way.
It's what makes us human, and it's okay to embrace that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool. I hadn't heard that quote before, but that makes a lot of sense. So, Zach, one other strategy that I think really worked for you this past semester was looking ahead. Like, we hacked your syllabi, right? Like, we looked through and we looked for, what does this teacher value? Who are the teachers that are more flexible? When are their office hours? You know, just really like deep dive into the syllabus. And then for a couple of the long-term projects, we backwards planned, we kind of chunked them into small bits. And you had a couple projects where you had to like take a series of photos, and we kind of pre-planned what maybe some of the photo options would be like. Tell the listeners, you know, kind of big picture, like how were those strategies impactful for you for those kind of like longer term projects?
Yeah, they were definitely impactful. Reverse planning, I feel like, is one of the like core survival tools for the end of the year and stuff like that. That's for sure. Definitely like, when you're looking at a big project like that, I know for me, my nature, since I never like scheduled before the second year of college, stuff like that, was I'll figure it out on the way. Don't do that. Please don't. For your and my mental health, do not. Because that's when the whole like the finals breakdowns happen. I've seen many of those in my like 3 years, I guess 2 years technically of college. And, you know, it helps a lot. Your mental health will thank you for it. Your grades will thank you for it, for sure. And even if you do procrastinate, if you plan 2 weeks ahead of the due date, then you can procrastinate realistically. Because you'll feel that pressure 2 weeks before then, and that will sort of get you to do it within those 2 weeks, whether you want to or not. Because the pressure doesn't start until you sort of start on it yourself. So you definitely need to, you don't need to start it, you just need to look at it early, realistically.
Oh my gosh, that's huge. Yeah. Yeah. And you're speaking to procrastination and time management and, you know, some of the tools that you've kind of lifted out of your own brain in terms of like, take a sneak peek. Don't avoid the thing because it grows as a monster in the side of your like periphery. But if you shine your attention light on it for a little bit, you'll realize like, oh, that's a cat. Yeah. That's not a monster, you know, and then you can kind of just work on it over time. Yeah, that was really interesting too, because by the end, you know, when we were getting towards finals, I'm expecting to like take a big shovel and scoop up my college students and like really try to help you. And you're like, oh yeah, I was early on that assignment. Oh yeah, I already turned that in. Hey, look, I already scheduled next week. And I'm like, wow, it's just, you know, raising your self-awareness. And then like you were describing earlier, kind of like getting rid of some of that mental chatter about like, oh, you're bad. And just being like, hey, this is my brain. This is how to play the school game. Let's go. I think both of those really paired up well. Like you had a really good synergy this semester, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And also I feel like my philosophy on just, I guess, tackling challenges like this has sort of gone from a, oh no, it's terrifying, I really don't want to do this, to more of like a, you know what, I'm scared of it, I'm nervous about it, it's a big project, it's going to be the biggest for this entire year, but hey, you know what, we're jumping in the water, I may be terrified of heights, but you know what, we can do it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. And, you know, I think part of the terrified of heights, like if we can roll with that metaphor, it's that you can kind of make little steps down. And that's what we did. Like when you take the big, like kind of cloudy project and you put it into steps, oftentimes we would like outline things before you ran into them. And then your brain is like, oh, but I only have this one step to do. Okay, I'll do it. You know, you really can kind of trick your brain into playing with you rather than against you if you can clarify, if you can kind of concretize the steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And a fun fact I would actually build to this metaphor is that people with a fear of heights generally tend to perceive the heights as a lot farther down than they normally are.
Wow. So if I'm on like a 15-foot ladder, my brain's going to say that that's like 20 or 25 feet.
Yeah, something very similar to that. It's a little bit less exaggerated than that, but it definitely can feel that way in the moment.
Looking forward to next year. And oh, by the way, let's just add in like another celebration of you, because you had the courage to really examine the way school was going and actually say, yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead and change my major.
Yeah, there was an interesting fact about that where it was actually my advisor. She was looking at the amount of drawing classes that I was going to have to take and was like, you know, you're saying no to all these classes that are kind of required. Maybe this isn't the right major for you. Which honestly, I did not expect, but it worked in my favor because I feel like I'm in a better major now.
100%. Yeah. PR journalism is going to be your jam. Yeah. And that took so much courage, right? To be your authentic self. And like, we were a little bit hesitant. Like, how do you approach this with your parents? You know, like you don't want to be a disappointment. There's a lot of emotions that come with a big, big change like that. And you did it and you owned it and it worked out great. You've got your next 2 years mapped out and you were willing to take that risk. Like I remember asking you, is this aligned with your values so much so that you're willing to do an extra year of school? And you said, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it turns out you don't have to, which is great. But you were ready if that's what it took. Looking back now, like when we met in January, I think it was January, to now, like almost June 2022, what do you know for sure about your brain that maybe you didn't know back then?
I know for sure that I am definitely more of a preparer. Most of the time I used to improvise. I always was like slightly worse than average on most things. So I was like, well, that just makes me bad at it. No, I just need to be prepared for stuff. And once I prepare for things, I'm like, heck yeah, this is amazing. And sometimes I can improvise, but you know, if you do think that you're not doing as well as your peers or whatever, comparing when you probably shouldn't be comparing because realistically you're your own person, but normally, that might just be a preparation issue. Maybe you just need to prepare a little bit more. And that's completely fine.
I love it. Yeah. Like it's not a you moral or intelligent issue. It's your studenting skill set. And we're all building that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, gave me chills in a good way. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Zach, again, I love our coaching time together. And I'm just so, so proud of all of the progress that you have made happen with just a little bit of fun questions from me.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on this and thank you for, you know, I know you're probably going to be like, no, it's all you, but it definitely is parts of you definitely helping me out in this situation. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah. We make a good team, dude. Hey, everybody. Before you go, I want to tell you about a super exciting group we're starting very, very soon in June 2022. It is an executive function launch group that will empower your junior or senior, or maybe even your transferring college student with all of the colleging and adulting strategies that maybe are still in development. We're going to find some ways to fast track, augment, supplement all of those those things so that you can, as a parent, send that sweet angel baby away to college and feel like, you know what, they got it. And during those moments when maybe, oh, they don't got it, they've still got a whole toolbox from which to draw. So look on sarahkesty.com. It's right there on the homepage about our launch to college groups. And I cannot wait to see you there.
Thank you for listening to the Executive Function Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please head over to sarahkesty.com, where you'll find more resources and chances to connect with others. And please remember to like and review the show wherever you listen to this podcast. We're eager to transform the lives of even more families.